Praise the Lord. Well, I say this often, but if you came today, you came to the right time, at the right time, to the right place. Praise the Lord. God's got some good things for us today. Amen. How do I know that? Well, because I've been in the Word. I've been reading the Word. I've been studying the Word, and I've been seeing things in the Word. Amen. And I've been getting direction from the Holy Spirit to deliver that Word to you. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to deliver it to you, and if you don't mind, I'm just going to help myself while I'm doing that. Amen. Because God's got good things for you, but He's also got good things for me, you know. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to preach to myself today as we're up here, because I know that the Word is good. Amen. And it helps us in every circumstance. Praise the Lord. But before I get going on what we're preaching on, I came across this week, and I wanted to share this with you. And I don't expect the overhead people to try to follow me, and I don't expect you to try to follow me. So just listen here, because you're going to see something. In Psalm 119, Psalm 119 is a very long psalm, but there's a theme that's repeated over and over again, and I want you to see this. Psalm 119, 125, or 25 says, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." And verse 28 says, "My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word." Praise the Lord. Verse 37, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." Psalm 119, 40, "Behold, I long for your precepts." That's his word. "Revive me in your righteousness." Verse 41, "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word." Praise the Lord. Verse 58, "I entreat your favor with my whole heart. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word." Verse 65, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word." Verse 76, let I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort according to your word to your servant." Praise the Lord. Verse 88, "Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth," which is his word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 93, you see a theme here yet. "I will never forget your precepts." That's his word. "For by them you have given me life." By his precepts, by his word, we have life. Praise the Lord. And the life that we've been preaching about, the worthy of the name life. Amen. Verse 107, "I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word." Verse 116, "Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope." Praise the Lord. Verse 133, "Direct my steps by." 44, "The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." Praise the Lord. You know that's through his word. Verse 149, "Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice," which is his word. Amen. 154, "Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word." Verse 156, "Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments." Verse 159, "Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness." Praise God. Hallelujah. And the last but not least, 170, "Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word." Praise God. There's a lot of people that are out there looking for a lot of things. They're trying to find God in a lot of areas, a lot of places. They're trying to find God in religion. They're trying to find God in tradition. They're trying to find God in plants and trees. But we find God according to his word. We find God in his word. And that's why we preach the word of God, because it isn't our fancy worship teams that will set people free. It isn't the dog and pony show. It isn't the lights. It isn't the big church. None of this stuff is what sets people free. It's the word of God that sets people free. It's the word of God that always set people free. It's the word of God that continue to set people free. So if you learn to get the word in you, this is how my life changed. This is how I went from being such a terrible heathen, praise the Lord, to a minister of the gospel, because the word was got into me over time. It got put into me. I renewed my mind according to his word. And as his word was in me, my mind changed. My ideas changed. I got brainwashed. Hallelujah. We say that before. I got brainwashed, all that stinking thinking, amen? I got all the world out of me. See, the church isn't supposed to look like the world. The world is supposed to be conformed to the church. And as long as we have churches that have church like the world, we will never see the full glory of God. Because our God is the same God as he was yesterday. He's the same God as he'll be tomorrow, the same miracle-working God. People say, why don't we have the miracles of God working? It's because people don't adhere to the word. It's because people don't understand the word. Now, this is about love. The word teaches us about the things that we do and how to go about life. Praise the Lord. It is a lamp unto our feet. Praise the Lord. Or a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. Praise the Lord. God, glory to God. God is good. Amen. He's got good things for us. And it's His word that will change us. I said it's His word that will change us. If you are going through a trial and I give you scripture and you get mad at me because I give you scripture, I'm giving you the help you need. See, it's your word, the word. When I was actually this scripture, I had some heaviness come on me, and in my spirit I heard, revive me according to your word. That's how I got into these scriptures. It was the other day. Heaviness trying to settle on me. Praise the Lord, because heaviness will settle on everybody. It'll try to get on. Word will revive you. When you get into the word and you see his precepts and you see, read his judgments and you read about his goodness, then you'll understand that you don't have a God that gives and takes away, that you have a God who wants to build you up. You have a miracle working God who still wants to work in you today. Hallelujah. There is no trial that you can go through that God can't fix, that God won't fix. Praise the Lord. But he does so first and foremost through his word. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Are you glad you came to church today? Praise the Lord. We could call that church and go home, but don't you know I got a lot more to say. I've been stirred up, praise the Lord, all week, and I want to get this message to you. I almost called church. I think I got that on Tuesday. I almost called church on Tuesday just because I wanted to preach it so bad. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good. Today's message is, what is death and what is life? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to start in Hebrews 2, verse 9. So if you can turn there. If you got a little ribbon like me, you can just flip there. Hallelujah. But it only works. I only got one ribbon, so I got a bunch of scriptures to go to. So praise the Lord. We'll have to find them all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did you bring your Bibles with you? I ain't going to look around, but it's important to bring the word to hear. Because you got to, you know, it's like, it would be like if you were getting sword training or something and you showed up without your sword, right? You know what I mean? If you were going to take shooting lessons from a shooter, right? If you're going to take shooting lessons from a guy who shoots and teaches how to shoot, praise the Lord. I don't know what they call them, shooters, right? But then you went to and you didn't show up without your gun. They'd be like, where's your gun? The same thing. You know, the word is everything to a Christian. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you get into it and you find it. If you don't know how to turn to it, praise the Lord, then you're not gonna know what to do when you need to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 2:9. Praise the Lord. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he might by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. Praise the Lord. Purpose of Jesus, he might taste death for everybody. Glory to God. You know, some people think this is just death when you die, but you know, if you look that word up, death, it's much more expansive than just death, dying. You know, death can actually be a way of living. You know what I mean? Death can be a way of living. Have you ever heard, that statement, you know, this ain't living? You know, you're having bad things happen in your life, and you're like, this ain't living. This just ain't living. That's exactly the kind of stuff that it's talking about here. The word death there in the Strong's and Concordance in the original Greek, it means natural death, but it also means death comprising all the miseries arising from sin. The loss of that life which is worthy of the name. You know, so often we've taught about life and we taught about what Jesus meant in John 10:10, what he meant by life. It meant life and worthy of the name life. But you notice this, it says death is the loss of that life which is worthy of the name. It's not just a loss of life, it's loss of life that's worthy of even calling it life. This ain't living. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where you've been like, this just ain't living? I'm going through all this stuff, this ain't living. If I lived and died and people are looking back on my movie, praise the Lord, they're watching the documentary of me and this is what they see, this isn't going to be very exciting. This ain't going to be a box office hit. No, you want a life that's worthy of living and a life that's worthy of the life that God provided for us. Amen? But we have to understand what death and life both are, because there's so many Christians that even though they're saved, even though they've been given this new life, they live in death. They live focused on death. They live amidst the death. Is that right? Amidst? Did I say that right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Is everyone here today? Glory. Praise the Lord. It's very important to understand what I said there, death comprising all the miseries arising from sin. Sin is what causes death in the flesh. Death did not come to the human race except through sin. That's why we preach against sin. It's not always popular. It's not always fun. People don't always like to hear it. But that's why we preach against it, because it causes death in the flesh. We don't do it because we hate people. We do it because we love people. That's why churches that will conform to the way the world is and say anything goes, that's why they're a detriment to people, because they lead them to the life of death. The Bible says that His Word is a lamp unto our feet, right? It tells us, it shows us the direction. It lights our path. It shows us the way we're supposed to go. And when we adhere to the Word, when we conform to the Word, I'm not saying when we're perfect, but when we try to get our lives, when we say, Lord, this is Your Word. I see this is truth, and this is the way I want to live my life. And so I start changing in that way. Then we start seeing the change that the Lord has for us. The promises that He gave us, they all come through His Word. Praise the Lord. There is a life that God intended mankind to live, and there is a life that there is a life we live separated from Him. God intended mankind to live a certain way. We see that through Genesis to Revelation. God never changed. He never changed. I preached a message last night, and if you get on the archives, you need to get on Corey's message and listen to it last night. I preached that God doesn't change. Amen. The same God that was yesterday is today. The same God. People try to say, well, you know, this all stemmed. I started this week because this all stemmed from the idea. There's certain Christian people that will say, you know, God doesn't perform miracles anymore. How can a miracle-working God not perform miracles anymore? Miracles define who God is. He is a miraculous God. Everything He created miraculously. How could that God, who doesn't change, by the way, how could that God change into somebody who doesn't do miracles anymore? He doesn't. It's not that He does change. He didn't change. God's purpose for humanity has never changed. He wants us saved, but He doesn't just want us to go to heaven. He wants us to live life here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. He wants us to have heaven on earth in our lives. He wants us to have heaven on earth in our marriages. Praise the Lord. See, it's when we get so much of the world in us. I hear people talking, Christians, good Christian people, wonderful Christian people, but they talk like the world. You know, those same people that will bash marriages and stuff like that. Christians, born-again people, talking about how terrible marriage is. They have no idea that God gave us marriage as an example of the covenant between Him and us. So if we bash marriage, we are also bashing the covenant between Him and God. God intended us to live with our spouse and become perfected as we're together. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. But see, when people live life aside from the Word, they don't understand these things. When they're not taught the Word, they don't understand these things. And then they can't walk in the power of God. The very power that God gave us to not just make it, but to be more than conquerors, as the Bible says. To make us more than victorious. Hallelujah. Because God wanted to exalt us. He wanted to lift us up. He wasn't okay with us being under the devil's feet. He put the devil under our feet. That's what Jesus did. Jesus did it because we couldn't. And we have to understand the importance of that. We have to understand that Jesus tasted death, so we don't need to taste death. Do you know what death tastes like? Praise the Lord, I've been pretty close many times, and I'm going to tell you, death doesn't taste very good. Death in the flesh doesn't taste good at all. It tastes terrible, in fact. God, Jesus, He tasted death for us so we could live without it, so we could live the life that He intended, amen? So many people. I'm not bashing churches, I'm not bashing Christians, I'm just telling you that the church of God, and I'm not talking about the church of God as a religion, I'm talking about the church of God as the body of Christ, live under what God has provided all the time, because they don't have the concept of life. They don't understand the concept of what it means to truly live. People will be so focused on the world. Listen, if you're a Christian focused on the world, you have no idea what Jesus paid for you. You have no idea what He did, because my life is telling me as I get closer and closer to God, I get farther and farther away from the world. And as I get farther away from the world, you know, I'm talking about the things of the world, the desires of the flesh, the things that only control so many people. Listen, if you're there, you don't have to stay there. You just follow the Word, and He'll take you away from all that stuff. But that's why we attempt to align our churches and our wills align with God and not man. That's why we try to have church the way they had church. We do our best, you know, as our understanding. We're not perfect, and no one's going to be perfect. Amen. But the ones who adhere to the Word, the ones who get closer to the Word, And allow this to change their mind. People allow their experiences to change this all the time. Yeah, people say, well, I know, but this seemed like God, and because God always talks to me, praise the Lord. I've met prophets who aren't any more a prophet than this podium is. Yeah, amen. But why do they think? Because they allow their feelings to dictate what their truth is instead of letting the word do it. We have people running around doing all kinds of goofy. I had one prophet, praise the Lord, went to a local church. He sat there and told me how God led him away from going to a local church and to seek God on his own. And I'm thinking, geez, that's funny, because the word says, do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. The first two things that Jesus did when he rose from the dead was he gave us he led captivity captive, and then he gave us the ministry gifts, which are found in the local church, namely a pastor, praise the Lord. Now, we do have other ministry gifts. We have the apostles, but they're usually traveling. We have prophets. A lot of times they travel. Sometimes they'll be in the church. I'm not saying they can't be, but the one that we're most acquainted with is a pastor, and the role of the pastor that Jesus gave us was to be with the sheep day in and day out and to teach them the word. This is the purpose, to teach them the word. But then you got a person that says, well, I was led by God not to go to any church anymore. Well, you know what? That's exactly what the Jehovah's Witness think and the Mormons think. They think, well, that Christianity got corrupted, so we're going to start this new religion because this is our direction. It's the same thing. But see, people will be in church and they'll think that they think they're so spiritual. But God, it's so funny. I've met people who are so spiritual, they're prophets of this or that, and they can't even live right. Listen, if you're a prophet of God, you better be living right. No, you ain't no prophet. Praise the Lord. God told us not to cast our pearls to swine, and we think he's gonna do the same. Come on now. If you can't live right, you ain't a prophet. If you live right, you ain't a pastor. You may be called to that someday down the road, but you ain't operating in that. God ain't pouring out his spirit upon you and through you because you can't live right. Amen? Praise the Lord. There is a requirement, and I'm not saying that we got to be perfect. You understand? I'm not saying that I'm perfect. You all know that I'm not. Amen? But it's not about being perfect, but it's about adhering to the word. It's about conforming your life to the word and not being conformed to the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is death, or the loss of life God intended and provided. And what I mean by that is the living separated. This death is the loss of life that God intended. Excuse me, that's what I wanted to say. This death is the loss of life that God intended. So God intended us to be great people, to be wonderful people, to be a glorious church, amen? He said he's going to come back for a glorious church. Without Christ, we are like the living dead. We're like zombies, hallelujah. That's what we are. We walk around in life, we're like, we don't know what to do. We're just, you know what I mean, brains, we're going to eat. You know what I'm saying? We're the living dead. We're living, but we're not really living. We're not living the way God intended us. See, life the way God intended is good. Like, God doesn't want you miserable. What parent wants their child miserable? Praise the Lord. Yeah, I mean, and maybe you're not a parent, it's like, oh, I don't know about that. You love somebody, don't you? You want them miserable? No. Why? Because nobody wants somebody miserable. If somebody is miserable, it's not because God intended them to live in misery. Now, that doesn't mean we'll live with opposition, but as we learned by Paul, Paul got through opposition through praise, and he got through it. He got on the other side of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:19 says, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." You know, we can get tripped up over the word wicked if we're not careful, because this word wicked doesn't just mean somebody who is like Charles Manson type Hitler wicked. You know what I mean? It's not somebody who's out there murdering babies and stuff like that. This word wicked just literally means somebody who doesn't do the things that according to the word. Somebody who doesn't live a godly life. Somebody who doesn't live righteously, praise the Lord. That's just somebody who's separated from God. Listen, Christians can live this life. Many Christians do live this life. But the way of the wicked, look, think about this verse. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. People who live in wickedness, people that live in evil, this is sinful living, people live wrapped up in this, they don't understand why they stumble, why they fall. They don't understand why they never get there. I was a Christian living the way of the wicked. I was a Christian who lived this way. I've walked this path as a Christian. I call myself a believer in Christ, and yet I didn't know what would make me I made stupid decisions all the time because I didn't make them according to the word. I made them according to how I felt or what I wanted. I didn't consult the word. I didn't consult a pastor. I didn't have any understanding of the truth. Praise the Lord. What is death and what is life? There's a difference between the two. But God intended us to live a good life. Amen. Let me to Ephesians 2. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2 verse 1. God is so good that he gave us a word to direct us and to guide us. Amen. Now, he's given us the Spirit too, but the Spirit will never, ever, ever lead us separately from the word. You may say, well, the Lord, like this man, the Lord led me out of church. No, the Lord didn't lead you out of church because he wouldn't lead you out of the very thing that he gave you to supply you. Church is a supply to the local body. If Jesus didn't think we needed it, he wouldn't have given it. And if it wasn't important, he wouldn't have given it. Jesus gave us the church. It said he looked in the multitudes and was sad because they were like sheep having no shepherd. They were scattered and faint. We've seen this. I've seen people in church because they haven't connected to a pastor. They're like sheep without a shepherd, scattered and faint. We see this all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:1. Praise the Lord. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. He made you alive. Jesus made you alive. The life that God is talking about, not alive just because you're alive. You were already living, right? You were breathing. Your heart was thumping. Amen. Your brain still had brain waves and activity was going on, and you were probably doing something when you came to Christ. You probably had some kind of life that you were living, but wasn't truly living. No, he said he made you alive who were dead in trespasses. When we are in sin, when we are wrapped up in sin, when we have this reigning in our life, we're dead. The Bible equals us to a dead man. How many dead men do you think do you see doing anything good? But God intended us to live a life. Praise the Lord. I have watched so many Christians. I hate the devil. I'm going to tell you right now, I hate the devil so stinking much. One of the things that is a driving force behind me continuing to do ministry, continuing to push through, is because I see people all the time that are hurting. I see people all the time who are lost. I see people who needlessly go through things in life that they don't need to because they have no idea. People in the churches I see who have no idea that Jesus died for more than just to get them to heaven. He died to give them a new life, to give them an abundant life, to give them a life that was worth living. Hallelujah. But they live in death because nobody will teach the word. People won't teach the truth. They would rather have their praise God, hallelujah. Don't get me on all this. They would rather have their events. They would rather have their social gatherings. They would rather have their make-believe outreaches. And what I mean by make-believe outreaches is like, what's the actual fruit? Do people get saved, born again into a church, and then go out and change other people? Or are they doing the same thing that everybody else is doing? Amen. If there's no change, then you got to ask yourself, something is wrong. Amen. He made you alive who were dead in trespasses, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. He made us alive. He brought us out of that disobedience. He brought us out of that the course of this world. Listen, we don't, you know, there's so many people. I've had pastors ask me, you know, What do the family churches do to be successful? We follow the word. That's all we do. We don't preach some flowery message. We don't sit there and try to make you feel happy for sitting there. Now listen, I want you to feel good. Don't get me wrong. But if the word's got to be preached boldly, I'm telling you what, Paul preached things that if you preach in most churches today, the churches would close because people would leave so fast. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, Paul preached some pretty strong things. Jesus, at one point, he was preaching so strong, everybody looked at him and they're gone. And I love his boldness. I know I said this last week, but I'm going to say it again. I love his boldness because then he turned to his disciples and he's like, are you going too? You don't like what I'm preaching? Fine, don't like what I'm preaching. I'm preaching the truth. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And we preach the same word, amen? Yeah. Why do we do this? Because we want to see lives change. Yeah. Lives aren't changed in your goofy whatevers. They're only changed by the word of God. Your goofy ideas, your thought of how things should be. Oh, pastor, we should have this program or that program. No, we should consult the Holy Spirit, and when he leads, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. People don't honor things. There's a strong lack of honor today. You know, preachers that want to be relevant, they think that, I looked up that word. I love that word. Praise the Lord. There's churches that are called this now. Praise God. God, did Jesus stand there taught us to be relevant? To be relevant to the world? So I got to dress down just so people come in and hear the word? No, listen, if a preacher's got to dress down so you like the word, there's an issue. There's an issue there. You ain't ever going to reach that person anyways. See, the thing is, when you look at God, God's the same God. He doesn't change. The reason preachers in the family church are dressed nice is because, praise the Lord, and you can come to church any way you want. You want to come wearing rags? We are not going to judge you. I'm telling you right now. But if you stand in this pulpit, you are not going to wear rags, wear a suit and tie. Hallelujah. Unless you're a woman and, you know, you don't wear a suit and tie, but it's really nice. Amen. Why do we do that? Because the same God that was alive that told the Israelites to make these beautiful things and the ephods and the gold covered this and that, hallelujah, and the jewels, the bedazzled things, hallelujah. That same God is the same God today. He didn't say, church, lower your standard. He said, I gave you Jesus. You got to up your standard. Why do people think this in this world of grace, people have this idea that we lower our standard because Jesus died and came to pay the price? That's foolishness. No, we are held more accountable. We have a greater grace than they had. So we better live. I'm not just talking about dress. You understand. I'm talking about bringing God your best in everything. Do you bring God your leftovers? Oh, praise the Lord. So you showed up to church, but were you all out all night the night before? And you're out all night the night before, you come to church and you sleep through half the service. They ain't bringing God your best. But you want God's best, don't you? When your child's sick or something, or when you need prayer for healing, or you need prayer for finances, you want God's best, don't you? Well, when you want God's best, you got to give God your best, because he gave you his best. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, there's this idea that is it's like a cancer that has gone through the body of Christ. That has convinced people that it's okay to bring God half-hearted. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We've gone to churches like this before when we've been on vacation and stuff. We've gone into churches where you come into church and the first thing that greets you, well, nice people greeting you, but you come into church and they greet you there and they have donuts and coffee and everybody takes their donuts and coffee into the sanctuary. Praise the Lord. What's that? Yeah, make it easier to sit through the service, which is only 15 minutes long anyways. I mean, they have 4-hour praise service, but they can't preach a word for more than 15 minutes. Because, dear Jesus, Jesus said that it was the praise, the worship service that was going to get us through, right? No, I'm talking about, we were down in Virginia. It was this huge church, and it was a big cafe and all this stuff. And I don't have a problem with having cafes in church and coffee in church. You know I like fellowship. Hallelujah. This church is built around fellowship. Fellowship is good. But when it's time for church, it's time for the word. We need to put down the things of the world and say, you know what? It isn't about pleasing us. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. We have people on the worship team. Why do we have these ones on the worship team? Because they've proven themselves. I'll tell you what. I will have nobody on a worship team before I'll have somebody who's sinning up there or somebody who's not living right. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you right now. We won't. It's the same thing with the usher. There's standards in everything that we do. Why is there standards? Because we want the life that God has. We want to deliver that life to people. We want to be effective to people. And you can't be effective if you're living like the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I woke up nice today. Hallelujah. But God's getting things over to us. He wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus died so that we could have an abundant life. You know, abundant life doesn't just mean, what does abundant life mean to a Christian? I mean, I want to ask people that. The people that God's just constantly removing from them, that God doesn't want them to really have anything good. You know, I hate that stuff. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. You'll hear me say it 1,000 more. People singing about God giving and taking away. They're misquoting one scripture out of the entire Bible. But yet they can't focus on the rest of the scripture. It talks about how God, how good he is to us and how much he wants to get things over to us. No, we'll misquote one scripture where a guy repents for it. You know, that comes out of Job, and Job repented later because he said, I spoke words without knowledge. Amen. Glory to God. That's free, no charge. But he said, I spoke words without knowledge, and he repented for all those things that he said. But then we got to write songs that talk about how good God is, but he gives and takes away. Oh, praise the Lord. No, my God said he'd give us life and more abundantly. Life and more abundantly. Well, it's more abundant than the list. than before. So I'm thankful for that, because now the stuff I got now is way better than the snarf. Snarf's stinky. Snarf's sticky. Snarf will get on you and it won't want to get off of you. Snarf will rub off on other people. You walk around with snarf on you, people ain't wanting snarf. Hallelujah. They don't want snarfy Christians. I'm telling you right now. If you're a snarfy Christian, ain't nobody going to say, hey, I want some of that. You know what I mean? Somebody out there live. No, people see people who are living victorious. God cares about every area of our life. He cares about our finances. He cares about our health. He cares about our well-being. We heard an awesome message preached in the last few weeks. And they were talking about how the Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the temple of God. And yet people are okay with sickness being in their body. Well, they're not really okay with it, but they'll accept it. Because they think that that's what God wants. But God, you never see God saying, well, when he was telling the Israelites to build a temple, he didn't tell them to build it out of broken pieces and left over this and that. No, the temple of God is holy. It's supposed to be beautiful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans 5:12. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. See, the Word of God will change our lives. The Word of God will make us who we need to be. It will make us who God intended us to be. It will help us to live that life that we all so desperately want to live. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now. You go to those people that believe that. I'm talking about Christians that believe that God wants them sick. Stuff like that. You go to those Christians, there ain't one of them that hasn't prayed for healing. There isn't one of them out there that if Jesus stood before him and said, here's your healing, wouldn't take it. And furthermore, even those same ones that believe that God wants them sick, don't they go to hospitals? Don't they go to the doctors to find out how they can get fixed? Well, if you believe God wants it, then you're just being in disobedience if that's what you're doing. See, it's foolishness. It doesn't make sense. God doesn't want us sick. He doesn't want us broken. He wants us whole. He wants us to live a life that's pleasing but exciting, a life that's abundant and full. Amen? Praise the Lord. And if you don't believe me, look at Romans 5:12-21 we're going to read. Therefore, having been justified by faith, how have you been justified? By faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're justified by faith, what you believe in God. That means if you don't believe God is who he says he is, then you're not justified anymore. Because you don't have the faith that it takes to believe that. Christians can walk away from what God has for them because they don't believe in the God who is the God of the Bible, the God who says he is who he is. Amen? I love in the Old Testament, I can't remember how many different names God named himself. He's got several different names. One of the names is peace. One of the names is healer. Yeah, this is God's name. He didn't change that. He didn't say suddenly I'm not. One is God the provider. One is God the protector. Hallelujah. God, this is what God, he gave himself different names to describe his character. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Almost felt like I was rapping there. I started in verse 1. I wanted to start in verse 12, though. That's why, praise the Lord. Verse 12. For just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. How did death enter the world? Through sin. How does death still enter? Through sin. Death is a result of sin. That doesn't mean that everybody who dies specifically committed one sin to have it happen. Because you don't stand there and say, look over a child that died early, and you say, well, they must have sinned. No, it's sin working in the flesh. Sin enters the world all the time because people perpetuate it. It could be because of someone else's sin, though. You say, well, how is that right? Because how would God put that? God isn't putting death on people. See, and that's the other aspect of it. If we believe that God is putting death on people, then we won't believe the truth, which means he wants to bring life to you. See, people don't believe God is good because they believe that God brings death. God does not bring death. The Bible says that death is an enemy. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I have come to give them life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Amen. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Okay, what it means is that God being just can't say that you were doing wrong because he hasn't told you what was wrong yet. But that does not mean that sin didn't still have an effect. See, God is not causing the effect of sin. This is what so many people miss. God is not causing the effect of sin. Sin causes death. Death reigning in the body is what causes all kinds of things that you don't like. It's not just a physical death, but it's the death in your finances. It'd be the death in your marriage. It'd be the death of your friendships. It'll be the death of whatever, the death of a church. If sin is allowed to just reign free in a church won't last. How do we know that? Because we have churches that were once great churches that don't stand anymore. I was talking about this with my pastor, actually, this last week, and I loved it. He was, we don't have it, the church of Ephesus anymore. There's no church, not the church that was started by the apostles. What a wonderful letter of the Ephesians. It tells us all about Christianity and what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to look like. And yet we don't even have that church anymore. Why? Because at some point, many people got off. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Sin causes these things to come in our life, okay? It comes like curse-like, it causes curse-like living to come upon us. Praise the Lord. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's death, one man's offense, many died, much more, everybody say much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Praise the Lord. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. This is very important to understand here. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. Okay, the gift is different. Okay? The one who sinned, what did that enter? That caused death to enter the human body. It caused death to come upon us. Sin caused the death to come upon us. He's saying specifically, now the free gift is not like the offense. Praise the Lord. The gift that is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. What he's comparing is he's saying how sin caused so much death on the earth. Sin caused so much death in the life of people, in the godly people, the people that God loved. Sin was what caused their death. God didn't cause the death. Sin causes the death. But he said much more than that, the grace that comes through Jesus Christ, these people will reign in life. That means you'll reign over all the things. When you reign in life, listen, if you've seen a king who goes without, praise the Lord. You don't see kings that go without. We know we have an idiot dictator over there in Korea, right? He lives like a king. How does a king live? Well, his people are starving, but he sure ain't. Oh, he's fatter than fat, praise the Lord. He's all fattened up, amen? Praise the Lord. Well, that's the truth. And he's all happy with everything that he needs. That's the way a king lives, amen? We're supposed to live like kings. Why? Because we reign in life. I'm not saying that it's okay to just like, we're all supposed to just like eat until we're, until we're way overweight and stuff like that. We have to be careful of that stuff because we have to be good. Amen. But what I'm saying by that is that there's a certain things that are characteristics of people who reign, and certainly it's not being defeated all the time. Certainly it's not being lost all the time. Certainly it's not, this is the thing. I remember when I first came back to the Lord, back when I was in my early 20s. Praise God. How's it getting all wet? Hallelujah. I remember when I first came to the Lord back in my early 20s. I came to God and I dealt with severe, severe, severe depression. I'm talking debilitating depression that would just take me out. I couldn't work. It was putting me into the hospital several times. It was making me seek out drugs. It was doing all these things, making me seek out death. All these horrible things. And I came to I came back to the Lord and I started going to some churches and I got taught the word of God in the sense that I got taught that the word was right and that there's more to it than what I understood growing up. And there was. I saw things in here, and I would call up my grandma, who was my spiritual upbringing, praise the Lord, and I would call her up almost daily. I'd be like, Grandma, I was like, did you know this is the Bible? She's like, yeah, I knew that. I'm like, that's good stuff. That tells us that. I mean, when you read through the promises of this book, you're like, wow. You realize realize when you put yourself in connection with this, you're like, wow, that's amazing. Like God has all these promises to his people. And wait a minute, me being a person who was far off and never wanted anything to do with God and didn't know anything. He had all these promises for me all along. I just didn't know about it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, somebody got that to me, but it wasn't in churches. Unfortunately, I was hopping around to churches trying to find a church that would teach the word. And I would go, and I didn't have real understanding of being submitted or planted or any of this stuff yet. And so I would hop around, and I was going through one trial right after another, and the thing that I found is not one of them dealt. Not one of them dealt. And so that depression came back on me, and it came back to haunt me good. Real bad, in fact. In fact, to the worst, it took me to the worst places that I had been after I had rededicated my life to the Lord. After. Because they didn't deal with the truth. They didn't deal with the mind. I didn't understand that I had to renew my mind with the word. I didn't understand that I had to conform my mind to his word and not to what I was feeling. Yeah. I didn't understand these things. And so these churches, they were, and a lot of them were as unstable as I was. Praise the Lord. Pastors that couldn't live right, you know, doing all kinds of crazy things. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I mean, I had several churches I went to where the pastors, and one pastor ran off with tons of money. One pastor ran off with another woman. One pastor, you know what I'm saying? And this is the stuff, this is what people see in the world. They see this is Christianity. This ain't Christianity. This isn't what God intended. God told us how to live right. And the first thing he told us to do is to take our feelings and nail them to a cross. He said to take your feelings, what you think, what you have to have, what you in your body, and you need to nail that to a cross. This is called crucifying the flesh. He said, nail your feelings, your thoughts to the cross, and then take my yoke upon you. Because that's easy, and that burden you can carry. Because I'm going to give you a new way, praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. So I didn't get any help. I didn't get the help I needed. And guess what happened? I fell away again. Because I just simply wasn't taught the word. Remember when we first found this church, I heard about it, and I was so burned out by the type of churches that I had gone to. I was so burned out by them, you know, the Holy Spirit believing churches, because all these crazy things happened. I was so burned out by all these things that I was like, if I had known that Family Church was the type of church that it was when I went to, I would have never gone back. I ain't joking, man. I was like, I went in there, and they, you know, nothing crazy happened right off the bat or anything like that. But it took me a while to realize that, man, these guys are tongue talkers. These people are Holy Ghost believing, Holy Ghost dancing, Holy Ghost running. Glory to God, hallelujah. Well, right now I'll jump all in on that stuff. Praise the Lord. I want it when it's right. You know what I mean? I want the truth of the word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, God wants us, and he got me there. He got me there through, it took me a while, praise the Lord, but he got me there because I followed him. Where am I? 17. Praise the Lord. I know I'm off on all that, but glory to God, it's good. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign. It's like if you receive it. See, that's the important thing. You have to receive the truth in yourself. You have to say, wait a minute, this is the truth. Not what I thought, not what I thought I knew, not what so-and-so told me. This is the truth. The word is the truth, and when you receive that, then you reign. Amen? Praise the Lord, because God doesn't want you living in death. He wants you living in life. Doesn't it sound funny, living in death? But people live in death all the time. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift, to all men, resulting in justification of life. Praise the Lord. For if by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where the sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through the righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. This is what he wants us to reign. God has intended us to reign. If we don't reign, it is not on his end. He's provided the way. He's provided the cost. He paid the cost. He got you the admission ticket. He said, there's a train. Jump on board if you want. But see, we have to decide to do that. We have to decide that I'm going to hook up with what God's saying, and I'm going to go that direction. We can only, listen, people think that God's word doesn't work because somebody failed God's word. But the truth is God's word works every time for people who work it. God's word will stop working. You stop working it. I mean, that's as simple as I can say. People call me foolish, but I mean, everything in Scripture is this way. Do we believe that anybody would come to repentance that doesn't want to? No, the Bible tells us that that's not so. The Bible says that if you don't say with your mouth and believe in your heart, it can't be so, right? That's what the Bible says, right? Yeah. Amen? So if we have to receive the most important gift that way, why wouldn't we have to receive everything else? It's lesser. Of course we would. God wants us to be in the good things. He wants us to have good things. But what we decide matters, amen? This is why choice is so important. Because though we have this grace, we choose life or we choose death. And we can choose it. Listen, it's not, people, just because you're good in one area doesn't mean you're good in all areas. You can choose life in one area. You can choose life in your finances, but choose death in your health. You can choose death in your death in your finances, but life in your health. I've seen people who have enough faith to get healed instantly, but they don't have enough faith to believe God for two extra dollars. Absolutely. With the same sense, I've seen people who can use so much faith to increase and increase and increase, but they don't have enough faith to live right. We've seen this. I saw a person who came into a church, wrote a check for $20,000 for a special offering. They had a business that just increased. But you know something? They couldn't live right. And so they fall away. How can a person, and I thought about this perplexing, because the Bible says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Listen, I ain't wrote a check for $20,000 to a church yet. I ain't got to that place yet. I will someday, but I haven't done it yet. But I'm going to tell you something. Even when I can write a check, I'm not going to just write a check for just any old church. I'm going to be hearts connected. Do you understand? So in my mind, I'm like, how can somebody get to the place where they could write a $20,000 check and then yet still walk away from God? How could they get like that? Because money, you know how money gets people. You know what I'm saying? But see, we can be unfortified in one area. We can choose life in one area and choose death in another. We need to choose life all around. We need to choose life in everything. We need to take the word of God at the word and run with it from there. Amen? And it's not hard. I'm thinking it's hard to put down the world, but I'm telling you what, it's not. When you start doing it, it may be hard in the brief second that you're doing it, but once you learn the abundance of grace that you get afterwards, putting down the world is easy. It's easy. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Death, I wrote this down and I wanted to get it to you. Death is enveloped in sin. It's enveloped in it. Death is found in sin. So everything that we sin, every time we put down the word sin, is just doing what God told you not to do. You understand? Sin doesn't have to necessarily be, well, I went out and robbed a liquor store, or I went out and raped somebody. No, sin can just be like the Lord put it on your heart not to eat peanuts on Tuesdays, and you started eating peanuts on Tuesdays. That's sin. Yeah, the Bible says whatever we can't do with a clear conscience. Listen, if you're justifying it, oh boy, here we go. If you're justifying it, it's probably sin for you. I said if you got to come up with reasons and excuses why you're doing what you're doing, if you're not just like okay with you just kick back, relax, say, ooh, I like this. No, if you can't do that, if you're justifying it to anybody, you're probably in sin. Hallelujah. See, God will lead you according to your spirit, according to your conscience. But you know what the Bible also tells us? We can sear our conscience. What does that mean? It means like, well, you know that it's wrong, and you do it anyways, and you do it again. And then and then you still have that conscience that says, well, that's wrong. And you do it again and because you just want to do it, you know, and you just keep going down that road. And eventually, all of a sudden, you're not hearing anymore. And you say, hey, I'm free and clear. It must be God wants me to do it now. That's not the way it is. It means you've seared your conscience and you've moved into a place where you can't even hear from the Holy Ghost. You can't hear from God. And he can't teach you. So you get wrapped up in your sin, causes death. The people don't know what makes them stumble. The wicked don't know what makes them stumble. They don't see it. See, because they've seared their conscience to the point. Listen, if God's dealing in your heart on something, you need to take heed to that. You need to listen to that. Praise the Lord. You need to be faithful to what the leading of the Lord is showing you, because if you're not, you're going to get in shipwreck. And we don't want you there. God doesn't want you there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to John 10:10. John 10:9, excuse me. We'll get to John 10:10 after John 10:9. Because you know what? It's right after. It's like right next door. The next door neighbors are buddies. Hallelujah. John 10:9 and John 10:10 are buddies. It's context. I love context. Praise the Lord. I love contextual buddies. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just got to think of some kind of filler while I turn there. You know, since I've been doing using these old-fashioned Bibles, it takes you a little bit longer to flip around. You don't just go there. You don't just click and go. Now you got to flip. And I told you, I still try to scroll, though. I do. I've done it several times in service. You probably haven't noticed that, but I still am going like this on my page. It doesn't move, but I go like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just got to get the world out of me. Amen. John 10:9. Jesus said, I am the door. Whoever enters by me, he will be saved. But listen, he's not just saved, right? And there's a big and there. Praise the Lord. And they will go in and out and find pasture. That means that you know, the Bible says that if you're living in the blessing of Abraham, that you're blessed going in and you're blessed coming out. This is what God wants for us, blessed going in, blessed coming out. Blessed going in, blessed coming out. What is that? It's blessed wherever you go. The blessing of God wants to follow you. Like the blessing of God wants to. I don't think you heard me. The blessing of God, it wants to follow each and every one of you. The blessing of God is like, please take me with you. The blessing of God is like with you when you wake up in the morning. Please take me out into your life today. The blessing of God is standing there when you're in the shower saying, please let me go with you when you go. When you get in your car and you start your car, you're just thinking about waking up and getting to your job, and the blessing of God is sitting right next to you saying, take me with you because I just want to be with you. This is why Jesus died, so the blessing of God could follow you everywhere, so it could be part of you, so you would know his presence everywhere you go. The blessing of God wants you like worse than anything could ever want anything. Praise God. Glory to God. It's like static in hair, you know what I mean? The blessing of God just is like, it's just drawn to you. It just wants to be there. But see, there's an inhibitor that people put up. It's a wall that they reject the commandments of God. They reject the word of God. And because of that, the blessing of God can't get through. It's not that he doesn't want it. He wants the life to come to all men. He isn't willing that any should perish. He wants the life to get to you. That's why he sent his son to die for you, so his life could get to you. And yet people put up this block and won't let it come through. God isn't causing death in the world. God stopped death by sending his son, but if you don't receive his son and what his son brings, you can't stop the death, and neither can he. This is what people don't understand. God can't stop the death in people who won't hear him. He can't. He provided one way, Jesus. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. Didn't say, I am one of the doors. He said, I am the door. What is Jesus? The Bible tells us in the beginning of John that Jesus was the Word. The Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. You can't separate them. Jesus, the Word, it's the door. Revive me, Lord, according to your Word. Fix me according to your Word. Help me, strengthen me according to your Word. Do you see what we're getting at here? Praise the Lord. God wants us to have life, but we are putting up things that are blocking us from getting into the life that God had. There's no child of God who has to die a painful death. Not unless they're specifically directed to be martyrs, but not everybody who dies for God is a martyr because some people just didn't listen to the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. We know that. We know people in our own camp who went home early, not because God wanted them to, not because they were martyrs, but because they didn't listen to the leading of God. And listen, it's a hickey in the body of Christ, or a hiccup, or a bruise. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's a hiccup. It's a hiccup. Huh. What? Well, both could apply. It's a hiccup, yeah. Listen, not many people look at hickeys and go, hey, that's neat. You know what I mean? Usually it's kind of a thing of shame, you know what I mean? Like, listen, if you're a teenager and you got hickeys, it's not cool. It's not cool. Like, people look at you like, oh, I know, you know, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, there was a day, and I just feel like going down this soapbox, so I guess I'll go on it. But there was a day, you know, you listen to some old songs the day, you know, like, you remember the song, like, Wake Up Little Susie, Wake Up. You know, the whole idea, the whole premise of the song was that they were just hanging out in the car, right? They weren't doing anything bad, but they fell asleep, and they woke up, and it was, like, super early in the morning. morning, like now, in the biggest thought in their mind, there's also that Christmas song, I really can't, baby, it's cold outside. And the same premise that you know, what will people think? See, because people cared about that. Now, people don't care what people think. They go outside half naked and share with everybody what they're hiding. Amen. You got people walking around the summer. One of the reasons I love this area is because half the year I ain't got to try to avoid my eyes from looking at stuff I shouldn't look at, because it's all over the place. Listen, I'm telling you right now, it is not of God to flash everything that He intended to be covered up. Yeah, it's not of God to do that. And if you're doing it, it's wrong. If you're okay with it, it's wrong. Praise the Lord. You know, there was a time, though, that stuff mattered to people. There was still a sense of decency. Praise the Lord. Glory. There's still a sense of decency. We don't have that anymore. For God's sakes, it happens in the church. Not today, I don't think. Praise the Lord. I'm not looking around, but just, I don't think it happened today. I greeted most of you came through, and I didn't have to hide myself from you or anything. But you know, people go to churches looking like they're going to a club. Dear Jesus, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Soapbox over. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:15. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're getting through it, right? Going to the other side. I promise we'll get you there on time. Moses won't have to come here saying, let my people go. Praise God. I can't take credit for it because I didn't come up with it. But, well, I can now because he ain't here who said it. So praise the Lord. No, praise God. No, we're gonna get you out of here on time. Every time we're close to it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Or mostly close to it. Amen. Or we might get close to it. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And he died for all. Who did he die for? All. Was there somebody who's not included in all? No. I see people say that, you know, Christianity is so exclusive. No, he ain't exclusive at all. He died for all. Hey, wait a minute, though. I had a terrible upbringing. Hey, he died for you. Wait a minute, I'm the wrong color. No, he died for you. I'm the wrong. No, he died for you. Doesn't matter what you are. He died for all. That's important. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. If you live for yourself instead of the word of God, then you fall victim to the death that he's trying to get you out of. If you live based on what your flesh wants. Listen, this does not mean that we can't enjoy flesh. Of course we can enjoy the flesh. God gave us the flesh and our feelings to enjoy them. But we have to understand that when it comes, when you're weighing the scales between God or what I want, you have to pick God every time. You have to. Because God isn't going to lead you into worse. I living my own life, and I had hell on earth. I live for God, and I'm going to tell you what, I enjoy every day. I enjoy every week. I enjoy every month. Every year it gets better. The promise of next year is better than the year before. I used to dread. I was convinced. The devil had me convinced I'd be dead by the time I was 35. Praise the Lord. I now look forward to my 50s because I entered my 40s. And I know that my 40s are way better than my 30s, which were way better than my 20s. Praise the Lord. I'm not sad about getting older. Why do you think I will never dye my hair unless the Lord has specifically told me? That is the only way, but I can't see him telling me, so I will never dye my hair. And the reason for it is because for me, it's like a badge, hallelujah. It's a badge of honor. It's like, hey, you got somewhere, man. Praise the Lord. You got through, yeah, hallelujah, because I was supposed to dye way back then, but I got, you know, the Bible says to rise before the gray-haired man. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're dyeing your hair, ain't nobody going to rise before you. Praise the Lord. And I want people to rise. Just kidding. But you know what I'm saying. It's about giving honor where honor's due. Amen? That's what we're talking about. See, it's not bad to grow old. This culture has it like growing old is some horrible, horrible thing. Like, dear Jesus, like I see people that don't respect the people that are elderly. That's why when we have dinner, we're going to have it today. We're going to have soup today, right? And guess what? I know they might be a little bit slower sometimes, but the older people are going through first. That's right. Praise the Lord. And we can wait for it if someone takes time. Praise the Lord. I don't mean that as an insult. I mean it as the truth. Listen, and if you're older, take your time. If you get called, go first. You wear your badge as a badge of honor. You go through first, and you enjoy it. And our kids need to be taught to respect people who are older. That's one of the biggest problems with this nation is that kids stop respecting people. Yeah, amen. I remember I had a healthy fear of teachers. My wife will tell you there's kids all the time that don't even care what teachers, principals say. Why? It's because they're all babied lilies and they don't know how to live. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sometimes what they need is a swift kick in the pants. Hallelujah. They need to be woken up. Praise the Lord. All around you. Praise the Lord. Living for yourself only gets you what you get by your own ability. This is important. Living for yourself only gets you what you get by your own ability. So you think the best that you can do, that's all it does for you. Living for yourself only gets you what you can get by your own ability. Or repeat that. Living for yourself only gets you what you can get through your ability. So if your ability is not very much, then your ability will not get you there. Praise the Lord. It's not going to get you. It's not going to win you. It's not going to take you over to the other side. And let me tell you, if you realize what your ability truly is, you know, there's people that are deceived and think that their ability is some great thing, that they can do so much. But praise the Lord, without God, you can't do anything. He's been gracious to you already because you wake up and breathe air. Praise the Lord. Living for God, though, this is important, gets you what his ability gets. Hallelujah. When you live for God, you get what the creator of everything. Praise God, the one who spoke to things is this, and then now they do. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want you to see some things here. We're fixing the close here. Not soon enough, praise the Lord. No, we're fixing the close. We're getting there. Romans 4:16. Praise the Lord. God is good. He's getting the word to us. The word will set us free. Praise the Lord. You want to see this. This is what his ability gets us. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. I said that I wrote this in my Bible. Faith activates, grace assures. Grace assures it, faith activates it. So if you can believe it, then you can have what it says. Amen? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only for those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's our God. He speaks of things that don't exist. When he needs it, he says, hey, I need that thing, whatever it is. He speaks it. It happens. It's the same ability he put in you and I, by the way, praise the Lord, that will only work if you're following God. Listen, if you don't follow God, if you're rejecting the commandments of God, I'm not saying what I'm talking about, but I'm saying even what God's dealing with you in your heart. If you keep rejecting, you know you got to do it, but you do something else, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to shipwreck your life, and you're going to shipwreck the lives of those around you. See, because as we learn that my life doesn't just affect my life, it affects everybody who my life affects. When you do something, you don't just do it. You affect your family, you affect your spouse, you affect your friends, you affect everybody, you affect the church. Praise the Lord. Who contrary to hope and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. So whatever God speaks, if you believe it, if you perceive it and believe it, then you'll have that. That's exactly what Abraham did. And look at what it says here. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. It does not matter what God told you. You know, when we started off this year, I thought there's no way in my mind, in my fleshly mind, I thought there's no way building in Corey. No way that we could have a building in Corey. And then I saw a building in Corey, and I saw the price tag of it, and I thought, there's no way we can have that building. Guess what we're buying in a few weeks? That building, hallelujah. Why? Because God's good. When he shows you, when he says it, we don't consult our body, we don't consult our finances, we don't consult what we know, we consult the word of God. And when the word is spoken, we say, I'm going on with that, because that's better than what I came up with, amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, that building he pointed out to me, it's way better than a hotel room. I ain't even preaching there, and I know that already, glory to God. Hallelujah. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. They were having a baby at 100 years old. Listen, it wasn't any easier then than it is now, just in case you didn't know. Praise the Lord. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now what was written was, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but this also was written for us. Hallelujah. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and raised because of our justification. Hallelujah. These things were written so we know that this is what we have. Listen, you want to live life, then live the life that God has for you. Praise the Lord. If you don't, then don't. But stop pretending. Just jump in and live the life that God has for you. It's not hard. It's not burdensome. You will all be more blessed by doing what you know you got to do in the Lord. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with this scripture. Deuteronomy 30:19. It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Choose life, choose life, choose life. Death and there is life. If you want what God has, which is life, then you'll have to choose it. You'll have to decide, this is what I want. Everyday living is a choice. Everyday dying is also a choice. We choose life and we live. Hallelujah. If you want to live for God, if you want the things that God has, but I'm going to tell you right now, living for God is not just as simple as coming to church. Living for God is not just as simple as saying, well, I put a few bucks in the offering plate once in a while. Living for God is not saying that you're a Christian. That's not, none of these things are living for God. Living for God is proven in your actions. It's proven in your deeds. It's proven by what you will do or what you won't do. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so you can always tell somebody who truly wants to live for God because you'll see what they do or what they don't do. Amen? Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for your love, your patience. Praise you, Lord, for all that you've given us. You've given us. You're so good, Lord. You're so good. So good. Father, we know that you've got good things for us. But Father, we know that the first step to that is to receive your Son. And what do I mean by that? See, sin separated man from God so that man could not go to heaven. But because God loved us so much, he provided a way. Way was the sacrifice of his Son. He sent his Son to come in the form of a man, to come looking like a man, to talk like a man, to be a man. He came here to earth, lived as a man, a righteous man. He lived as a man without sin. And then when the right time had come, he was sacrificed on a cross, and he died so that we could be saved. He paid the price that death was causing in us. He paid that price so we could live. So if that's you, but the Bible says very carefully, or very clearly in Romans 10:9, that you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead in order to be saved. Now, that's the only way you can know that you can be sure of going to heaven. So I want to ask everybody here by the sound of my voice, I don't care if you've been here or been in church for 10,000 years or if you just started coming today. It doesn't matter. All that matters, you got to ask yourself, do I know that I'll go to heaven if I pass away today? Don't gamble with eternity. Know for sure. It's real simple. Like I said, the Bible says you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus before and you'd like to today, it's real simple. We're going to just have you raise your hand right there from your seat. I'll have you put it right back down. And then we'll all pray a prayer together afterwards. Praise God. So if there's anyone by the sound of my voice that has never received Jesus and you'd like to today, go ahead and slip your hand up real quick. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I see that hand. You can put it back down. Thank you, Lord. Any other hands? Any other hands? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I thank you, Lord. We don't have any more hands, but we can give one more opportunity, one more invitation. Maybe you have received Jesus, but you've walked away, and I don't mean you made a few mistakes, but I mean you walked completely away. If that's you and you'd like to today, God will receive you back if you decide that you want to live for him. So if that's you too, just go ahead and raise your hand real quick. Thank you, Lord. See that hand? You can put it down. Hallelujah. we had raised. So what we're going to do is we're gonna pray a prayer together, and I ask everybody here that's here, pray this with me. And if there's anyone who didn't raise their hand, but you like, man, that was for me. Listen, it's not the raising of your hand that gets you saved. It is the confession with your mouth and the belief in your heart. And we do that because we want to know who we're praying for. Praise the Lord if we can help people. But if you were just too shy to raise your hand, you can just pray this, and it applies to you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, that he saved me by coming to this earth to die for me. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins, be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.